begin the current daf in Sechtes Bacham daf Samaches. Begin 9 lines down with the top of the Yom. The Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, is regarding the halacha of Chatzah Sa'if and Eile Sa'if. We were discussing that their Avaidas, which was a continuation of the previous Prakim, regarding where is the placement of certain Avaidas of animal Karbanis and flower Karbanis, and we talked about the bird Karbanis. And their Avaidas is not done with Shechita, rather with Malika, which is a cutting of the pipes with the fingernail, on the thumb fingernail of the Kayin. And that we said that there are differences between Chatzah Sa'if and Eile Sa'if, and what's the halacha of one differentiates. So in that, our Mishnah continues with that theme regarding an invalid Malika, and what are the ramifications. Says the Mishnah, Kol HaBesulim Shemalku, regarding all those who are invalid to do the Avodah, did it the Malika, which the Gemara is going to have a machlekes exactly what exactly is being included in the word Kol. So Malikasim Besula, obviously if they're invalid to do the Avodah, then that Malika is invalid. However, although generally, if it's not a valid malika, hence the equivalent, it's not like a kosher shechita, so the bird's an avela. It was a non-properly slaughtered animal, a bird, and therefore it should be what we call a trefa, but really it's called a avela. Trefa is when it has a mortal defect, avela is when it wasn't properly slaughtered. However, that's what the chiddush, the novelty of the Mishnah is telling us. Ultimately, malika was done. And therefore, although it didn't validate it as a carbon, it purifies it from the tumma of nevela. The reason for this is because it's what's called psulei b'kodesh. Its invalidation happened once it was already sanctified. And therefore, the malika, albeit it's not going to validate it as a carbon, but it, as the Gemara will explain, it has the halacha of olu lo yerdu. If it goes up on top of the Mizbeach, we're not going to take it down, we're going to let it stay there and be sacrificed over there. So therefore, it's not halachically going to be qualified as a nevela, hence it does not transmit tumma, which are generally an oif tar, a kosher bird, when it's a nevela, transmits tumma to the person that's eating it and the clothing that he's wearing. When it's in his throat, it generally transmits tumma. Here it's not going to transmit the tumma, that much the malika will accomplish, that it's not going to be considered as a nevela. Continues the Mishnah, malak bismoil. If, let's say, the kohen that did the malika did it with his left hand, where that type of malika is invalid, because wherever it says the finger or regarding the kohen, it refers to the right hand. Oy b'leilo, let's say he did the malika at nighttime, which is also problematic, because it says b'yim tzavois, and the day that is commanded. Or let's say shachet chulim b'fnim. He went and he slaughtered an unconsecrated bird inside the azar, which is also not supposed to slaughter anything but kachim in the azar. Or v'kachim b'chutz, or he went and he slaughtered kachim outside, which is also not supposed to be, it's supposed to be nazar. So then, einon mitamas beves habli, regarding all these cases we just described, that although they're not valid, they're not going to transmit tumma to the person that's eating it when it's in his throat. So although that, there, as we said, there's no shechita for a bird in the azara, and also for a kachim bird, there's no shechita in general, and still, in spite of that, these cases is not going to transmit tumma, as the Gemara will explain the reasoning for them. Now, there is a case of slaughtering kachim inside, which wasn't mentioned, but the Gemara is going to say that's included when we say kol, when we're including one of the general categories, that's included here in one of the statements in the Mishnah regarding the halacha of not transmitting tumma b'beis abliya. So, the chiddush of the Mishnah is, since it's what's known as pesulin b'kodesh, its invalidation happened when it was already in its sanctity, meaning in one of the avodas, so the malika is going to help, like we said, im olu lo yerdu. If one of these birds are put on, let's say by the kachim, if it's done b'chutz, although that's not valid for the service of the carbon, but if it's put up, it's not going to be taken down. So the Gemara is going to learn that from Sukkim, this halacha, why is im olu lo yerdu then? If it's not valid, why don't you take it down on top of the Mizbeach? We compare it to a trefa, because the pasuk compares the nevela to the trefa, which if it has a mortal defect, just like a trefa, anything that's forbidden in it, when it becomes a trefa, does not become permitted. That's the same thing with malika, but here malika is accomplishing something, where it's im olu lo yerdu, and that's why, but all these cases of malika that's pasul, although they're invalid, but since it accomplishes something, it permits something, that im olu lo yerdu, if it's going to be put on top of mizbeach, it's not going to come down because it's psul makaydish, so therefore it's not going to transmit tumma beveis habliya. So again, that's the chiddush, although that it's forbidden to be eaten. But the Gemara is going to explain the reasoning why, however, does it not transmit tumma. But basically, again, as we said, based on the principle of Allah Yedu. Continues the Mishnah, malak besaken. However, let's say The Kohen did the Malika, not with his fingernail, but with a knife. Now, that's not Malika, and neither is it Shechita, because essentially what he has to do is, he has to push the point, the tip of the knife, into the neck of the nape of the bird to do Malika, because that's exactly how you have to do Malika with the fingernail, is that you have to stick it in and cut the, sever the spinal cord and the spinal column until you reach to the first pipe. And you have to do that by doing a narrow cut. You can't do it like as one would normally slice with a knife, because you have to make sure that you don't cut most of the flesh until you reach the pipes, as we said in the previous parak. Now, if you're doing that with a knife, it's the only way it's possible to do it is with the tip of the knife. Now, if you're doing it with a knife, it's what's one of the ways of making an animal trefa is by doing the way you'd be doing it with a knife. It's called hachlada, which is borrowing, as the Gemara says in Chulin HaKol Sheikhtu. So therefore, this is not going to be a valid malika. Now, or molak chulin b'fnim. If let's say he did malika on the bird, but it was an unconsecrated bird, and he did it in the azara, or ukadshim machutz, or if he did malika on the kadshim, but not in the azara, but rather outside. So regarding all these cases, by chulin, there's no halacha of malika at all. It's only by kadshim. And also, regarding doing it out of the azara, even by kadshim, the halacha is that that's not going to be a valid, it's like you didn't do anything. And by these cases, even if it was put on top of the mizbech, it's going to come down. Because these are not what's called pesulim b'kodesh. Pesulim b'kodesh is, you did an avodah, but it was done inappropriately. Here, nothing was done. There's no malika by chulin. And even by kachim, there's no malika outside. It doesn't have any halachic relevancy at all. So therefore, we cannot exclude it from being different than the case of treifa, because it's permitting something, it's not permitting something. It's not even going to be imal lo yedu, and therefore it's like a regular nevela. And therefore, in these cases, as we're going to see, as the Mishnah continues on Amud Beis, it's actually going to transmit tum beves ablia. As the Mishnah continues with other cases, tyrin, which are turtle doves, is two types of bird karbanis, that two species that are possible to bring when one has to bring oila saif, a chata saif, either turtle doves, which they're only kosher when they're more mature, but when they're actually smaller, they're invalid. So regarding the turtle dove, shalohi giyazmana, where it didn't yet reach the age of when they're appropriate to be brought as a carbon. So since it's not fit to be as a carbon, it's essentially when you're doing malik on it, like a chulin, like an unconsecrated bird. Or uvenei yain, or regarding pigeons, which are actually only kosher when they're young, and actually they become the opposite of tyran, they become pasul when they become older. Sha'avar zmanon, where the time already elapsed, so because when do tyrim become kosher? When they get like a yellowy, goldish look on their feathers. And actually, when do the pigeons become pasul? It's actually when their wings around their neck become yellowy, their feathers become yellowy, goldish. That's actually when they become pasul, which is the time when tyrim become kosher. So by either one, tyrim, if it didn't yet reach its age, or b'nei yain, they already passed its age, so these are like chulin. Again, these are like, it's not even pesul makodesh. When you're doing the malika with them, you're like doing a chulin, which it's not even, it has no relevancy. These are all going to be imalu yerdu. They're going to come down from the mizbeach. Or shayov shigapa, or if its wing dried up, where it's like, it like fell off because it dried up, where that's what's called mechusar aver. It's like missing a limb, which is an invalidation of a blemish even by birds. Because although elsewhere the Gemara tells us that this ain't tamas ba'ifis, it doesn't have to be unblemished by birds. That's only by something like a cataract in the eye, which it's not a recognizable blemish. But missing a limb, that the Gemara tells us, hakarveyu no lafachasech, would you bring this for your governor? Would you? It's not appropriate for Hashem. So it's invalidation even for bird carbon. Or similarly, chenismus eina, if its eye got blinded, not just a cataract, or for shnikta raglo, if its leg got chopped off, regarding these cases that we described from Amman Alf till here, mitame beves ablia, they will transmit tumah to the one who's eating it when it's in his throat. Because here, by these cases that we described, the malika did not accomplish anything, and even for the element of the cases in the resha, which was, yeah, malika is not valid even in the case of the resha, when you do it with the left hand, or by nighttime, it's going to be pasul. You can't eat it. But it's accomplishing something, and as we'll see in the Gemara, what's the relevancy of that, which is Shem Olu Liyerdu. And why? Why if it goes up in the Mizbech, you're not supposed to, because it's not valid, you don't take it down? Because it's Psul Makaydish, which means to say that in some way, you did a Malika, it just wasn't valid. These things, you're not even doing essentially a Malika, because what all these things that you're saying, like for example, the case that we just described, when the wing broke off or it lost its leg. So these are things that's not even kosher in the first place, like a chulin animal, doing like a chulin bird. An unconsecrated bird, you do malika, you're not doing anything. So since it's not permitting anything, so again, you can't exclude it from the halacha of nevela, because what is compared to treifa, as we'll see, that it has to be similar to treifa to be a nevela, just like treifa does not go ahead and permit anything after it becomes a treifa, so to nevela. In contrast, the cases of the resha where it's permitting something, there it's not going to have the problem of nevela to be metam beves ablia, but these which are not accomplishing anything will transmit tum beves ablia. Concludes the Mishnah, Zakal, this is the rule, which applies to some of the cases that we described. Kol shepsulei b'kodesh, anything that is an invalidation in its sanctity. For example, those things which are eligible to be kachim, but they became invalidated during the avodah, like the some cases of the reisha. So einam b'tam beves ablia, they're not going to transmit tuma when it's in the throat, because again, as we said, their malika accomplished something, then im olu lo yerdu. So it comes out that the malika is permitting the isra on some level. And as we're going to quote a brayse in the Gemara that says it has to be similar to a treif, which doesn't permit anything, and here it's permitting something. So it will not have the halachic quality of an nevela to transmit tuma when it's in the person's throat. If its invalidation was not in sanctity, it was, let's say, a chulin, or you didn't do malika, it was something that never started, then it's not going to permit going up on top of the mizbeach, and if you put it, you're going to have to take it down. So then it's just like treifa, where it's not permitting anything, and therefore it's going to transmit tuma as an nevela, kosher bird, which is not properly slaughtered, in the throat of the person who's eating it. Now, relating to the halacha of the Mishnah, we have a machlekes, which will relate back to how to translate a line in our Mishnah. Amar Rav, he says, smoil v'layla, which we spoke about in the Mishnah, doing the malika with the left hand or doing it at nighttime. So as we said, ein retam beves ablia. So they're not going to transmit tuma to the woman who's swallowing it, as we said, because regarding these things, although they're not valid, the carbon's not kosher, but if it was put on top of his bath, we'll leave it to be burnt and not going to take it down. Now, in contrast, zar, besakin, malika that was done by a non-kohen or through a knife, those two are metam beves ablia. They will transmit tumba when it's in the throat. In those cases, if it was put on top of his bath, it's going to come down. Now, three out of the four cases Rav described is in the Mishnah already. The Mishnah said clearly, left hand and nighttime is not metam beves ablia, and it said regarding the knife that it is. There's one case, that of the non-kohen, which the Mishnah did not discuss, explicitly at least, and the Rav is saying that that's going to be metam beves ablia. Olu, it's going to come down. Well, that is the Gemara. Why? What's the difference between the two categories? Maishno smoil, what's the difference by doing it with the left hand where the Rav, the Mishnah, is considering it that it's a malika that's permitting something of the iser? And therefore, we say, like, if it goes up, you're not going to take it down. Why? Because we find the isli hechsher b'yem kippur. There is, not a totally, like, you didn't do anything. No, when you do it with the left hand, although it's invalid, but it was an invalid malika, you did a malika. Why? Left hand, isn't left hand doing nothing? No, we find in Aveda of the Beis HaMikdash that left hand does have some quality. Because, like, the Mishnah teaches Masechta Yomim of Mem-Zayin and Aleph, that the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim, when he was going to take the Keteris to do inside the Holiest of the Holiest, he would take the shovel full of coals in his right hand, and he took the spoon of the Keteris in his left hand. So you see that it does have relevancy. So therefore it's a Psulei B'Kodesh. And so to V'layla Isle Hechsher Be'Varma B'Darm. Nighttime has validity regarding Avodah, because as we open up in the first Mishnah Shas, that through the night is when they burn the limbs and the different parts of the Karbonis, which they do, and they make sure it gets burned all through the night. So you see, nighttime has some validity, so it's still, although it's a psul, but it's a psul b'kaydish, it's something that's is a eligible type of element. Well, that is the Gemara, Zar Nami Islech Sheir B'Shchita, but then you should say something with a non-kohen. You're right, although a non-kohen is not valid to do the malika, but it should still be considered psul b'kaydish. It was a malika done, but an invalid way. Don't say it's not a malika at all. Because a zar, a non-kohen, you see, is also kosher in that first step of a carbon, although it's not kosher for malika, but the equivalent by an animal, which is shchita, is kosher by a non-kohen. Says the Gemara, shchita lavavaydi. No, there's nothing by a non-kohen that's valid for lavavayd mes amidosh. What are you going to tell me? Slaughtering, that a non-kohen is allowed to slaughter the carbon? That's not the avayda. Because even by an unconsecrated animal, a regular animal that a person wants to eat, he has to do slaughtering. So you see, it's not an element of avodah, it's just an element of slaughtering, and that's not something that we find anywhere that a zav has relating to the Avodah, and therefore it wouldn't be Pesul Makadosh. It would be totally invalid, and like you didn't do Malika, and again, therefore, Im Olu Yerdu, and therefore, Pesul Sabliya. That is a Gemara Veloi. You're telling me that Shechita is not an Avodah? But Vom Reb Zeri says, Shechita Para Bizar Pesulah. The slaughtering of the Paraduma, the red heifer, which was the animal that was totally red, the cow that they had to go ahead and burn its ashes to spray on someone that becomes richly impure from coming in contact with a dead person. So Reb Zeri said, the slaughtering of the Paraduma is invalid with a non-kain. Now, Umachvi Rav Allah and Rav pointed on this, meaning to give a reasoning for this Allah of Reb Zeri, because Elazar v'chuka, meaning in that parsha of the slaughtering of the Paraduma, it says Elazar, who is a kain, and when it's talking about v'shachat regarding the slaughtering, and moreover, it says over there in that parsha by the Paraduma chuka. Chuka in the Torah always means to say that it's ma'akav, it's integral, it has to be done this way. So you see that slaughtering of the Paraduma has to be done with a kain. Well, so obviously you see that it is avaida, because if it's not avaida, why would it have to be done with a kain? So then we're back to the question. If Shechita is an Avaida and Zar is kosher to do the Shechita, so you find that Zar is valid to do something of Avaida, and therefore it should be Pesul Makadosh. So Sigma, no. Shani Para, the red heifer, is different. The Kachi Bedeka Bayasi. It's not a sanctity of Karbonus of Avaida on the Mizbeach. It's the sanctity of the monetary funds of the temple upkeep, which that's where the non-coin is going to be valid. But it's not an invalidation of, it's not something because of that invalidation of the Avodah, because Shechita is not an Avodah. That, by the Paraduma, that he can't do the Shechita, that's not relevant. That's not an Avodah invalidation. It's not showing that, oh, Shechita is an Avodah. That's something uniquely regarding the Paraduma, as we see, because the Paraduma is not even a carbon. It's something of Bedek HaBayis, which means to say just the temple funds. And that's one of the services for the tzibur that they do, which is to purify people that are impure. But it's not a carbon. It's not service of the Beis HaMikdash. But I'm not asking Gemara. But v'lo kolde kainu. But didn't you make the question even stronger? Kache bedek habayis bayukun. You're telling me a lower level sanctity, that of the bedek habayis, needs kayan for the shechita. Kache mizbeach mebayis. Are you going to tell me that regarding kache mizbeach, meaning something has a sanctity to be sacrificed on the altar, which the primary of everything that is with Kahanim, and even so, you tell me, but that's kosher with a Zar, how does that make sense that Bedek HaBayis, which is a lower level, is going to need a kain by the Shechita? And that Amrav Shisha Bri Davidi says it's not difficult. Midi Dehava Maras Negaim, it's exerts a custom, just like we find by the visibility of a Nega. The Lava Vaidehi, that's not an Avaidah, when the one has to inspect it to see, is that Saras, does that person have a Nega? It's not a service of the Beis HaMikdash. That person who has the neg is not being sacrificed in the Mizbeach. Ubayikuna, and yet still that has to, the Torah tells, has to be done with a kayin. You can't even have a sage who knows Negaim to go and say what it is. Same thing over here, by the Paraduma, that it has to have a kayin, not because it's an avoida of Shechita, because Shechita is not an avoida. It's uniquely something exists custom regarding the Paraduma, and therefore it's not going to prove us to anything that Shechita is an avoida to say that the Tzar has some validity of avoida by saying he's kosher of Shechita, because Shechita is not an avoida. Paraduma is different. But the Gemara continues asking, it says, okay, fine, but v'nelev mi bama. But we should still learn out that Zar should be the same as Smoil and Laila, that it should be Pesul Makadosh from a bama, from a private altar. We should say that when the Zar does Malika, we should say, if it goes up on Tam Mizbeach, you don't take it down. Why? Because a Zar is kasher to do the Avoda on a bama, on a private altar, because as we find certain times in history that the Bechayrim, they did the Avoda, they were not Kahanim, or other times when even a general bama, where you don't have to have a Kain. So therefore, regarding Tumah, we should say that it does not transmit Tumah when it's in the throat, because we find that a Zar could do the Avoda, not just Shechita, by a bama, which is also Avoda, just it wasn't, there were certain times that it didn't have to do the carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. You could do, everyone could have build their own private altar. So that was kosher with a Zar. That says the Gemara, no, mibama lo yalof. We're not going to learn out from a private altar, because in contrast to the Beis HaMikdash, to the temple, it's like a chayil, like something unconsecrated. Yeah, in times of history, certain times Hashem led it. But in regards to the Avodah Beis HaMikdash, you can't tell me, oh, Zar, he has eligibility. I could prove to you that he has regarding Avodah, because he does by Bama. Bama, what does that do with the Beis HaMikdash? Beis HaMikdash is sanctities, and that's like chol regarding it, and therefore we're not going to prove from there anything regarding the validity of a Zar to make it, when he does it in a wrong way, the Malika, because a Zar is not do it, that should be Pesul HaMakadosh. No, it's like a Malika wasn't done. And that is Gemara V'loi. You tell me that we don't learn out avaidus that were done in the Beis HaMikdash from avaidus regarding the Bama? But Vatanya learned the Braisa says, Minayin liyetzi, what do we know regarding a carbon that went out of its perimeter? Certain things cannot leave certain areas, Zazara, that Shim Allah layered, although becomes invalid. But if it goes up on top of Mizbeach, we're not going to take that thing down. How do we know that? Says the Braisa. Shari yetzi kasha babama, because we find leaving an area is not a problem by the Bama. Because by a private altar, that's even, you could do it on any rock wherever you want to, like we find B'menayach and Sefer Shaftim. So there's no perimeter because you can do whatever you want to. So you see the Braisa says that there's validity to a halacha of Avaida because of what we find by Bama. But didn't you just tell me that we're not going to learn that Zahar has some eligibility because we find by Bama yet, and therefore for the base of Mikdash too? So I think my answer is that's not difficult, because Tana, really the Tana, the Braisa that says that Yaitse, if something goes out of its perimeter, if it was goes up top of its Mizbeach, it doesn't come down. Azais Tyrus Ha'ila Samachle, really he's relying on the Pasuk to tell you that when it's Yaitse, it's not going to come down. It's not really because it's kasher by a Bama. And that was just said, you know, incidentally. Primary, what he relies on is the Pasuk. As the Gemara says this later on, Perkam Mizbeach Mekadosh, not Pedalim and Aleph, that it says in the Pasuk, Tyrus, to tell you that there's going to be one halach of all the karbanos that go up on top of Mizbeach, that if they go up, they don't come down, because the word tyras is an inclusionary term. Thing is, says the Gemara there later, but the word zeis, like we said, zeis tyras ha'ayla, zeis is an exclusionary term, this and nothing else. So on that, the Gemara asks over there, so where did you see fit to include those things that you include to say that if they go up, they don't come down? And when do you see fit to exclude certain things that when they go up, they do come down? So the Gemara says, I'm going to include those things that are pesulon ba'kodesh, that they are kodesh, and the avodah was done. It was just done in an invalid way, and therefore those things imalu lo yedu, and I'm going to exclude those things that they were not pesulon ba'kodesh. So therefore, for example, something that leaves its perimeter, that's a pesul ba'kodesh, because it was only after it was sanctified that it became invalid because it left the perimeter. That's Pesul Makedesh. So too, like we said before, regarding doing it with the left hand or at nighttime, since we find validity regarding the left hand and night regarding other Avaidas, so we consider that also Pesul Makedesh. But in regards to the Malika of the Zahar, like Rav was saying, we don't find anywhere validity regarding Avaidas done in the Beis HaMikdash, so that's not going to be considered Pesul Makedesh, and therefore that's going to transmit Tumah to the one that's swallowing it in his throat. Where although we find the Braisa, it does learn that from Bama. No, it's not really learned from Bama. It just says it, but really the primary halacha, he knows that Yaitze is kosher. If it's Olu lo Yerdu, it's because from the Zeis Teres Ayla that it's Psula Bakaydish, and therefore it's going to say Im Olu lo Yerdu. Now the Gemara, however, says Rabbi Yechonama, he disagrees with Rav. He says, Zar, regarding that one case that Rav mentioned, which is not explicit in our Mishnah, he says, Ein Metama Vesabliya. He says, actually, does not transmit Tumma to the one who's swallowing it when it's in his throat, because he holds that since we do find validity for it on the Bama, for a Zar doing that Voidah, and therefore it's considered Psula by Kaidish, and therefore it's not going to transmit, therefore it's Im Olu Lo Yerdu, and therefore it's not going to transmit Tumma when it's in the person's throat. Now, however, he does agree regarding the other case, as our Mishnah says, Sakin Mitama Abes Abliya. But if he did the Malika with a knife, then it's going to transmit Tumma for the one who's swallowing it when it's in his throat, because we don't find any validity regarding the knife at all, because it's either going to be a problem of chalado, or either going to be considered a problem of cutting the flesh, or a problem of burrowing. But we said it's when you're doing the malika with a knife, it's not even like a malika at all, and it's not even considered psul by kodesh, and there it's going to be considered a nevela. Now the Gemara asks now, and this is where it comes back to halacha by Mishnah. It's not, we learned the Mishnah that said, kala psul and shemalku, all those who are invalid that did the malika, milikasin psula, so the malika is not going to be valid. Ask the Gemara, Bishlam Yechanan, Kol Lasu Yezar. When it says, when we're talking about all psulin that do the malika, what do you mean all psulin? We're coming to including a non-kayin, where although like the Mishnah says that the malika is going to be pasul, but the Mishnah continues to say, but it's not going to transmit tum bevesabliya. Because like Rabbi Yechanan said, that we learn that from Bama, that Zar does have validity, it is considered psul by Kodesh. But according to Rav, Kol Lasu Yemai, what is he coming to include when it says all the psulim? What's not mentioned in the Mishnah that he's coming to include? Rabbi Yechon is including Zar, but Rav holds that Zar actually is going to be Metam Beves Abliya. So says the Gemara, Lasuye, in the Girsa takes out the word Lab, Lasuye Smoil Valayla, to include if he does it with the left hand or at nighttime, where that's invalid, and it's a Malika Psula, but it's not going to transmit to Beves Abliya. That is the Gemara, Smoil Valayla, Behed Yikatani. The Mishnah explicitly says that. Why? How can you say that's included in Kol Psulin? The Mishnah explicitly says that case of left and night, and you don't have to say that in Kol Apsulim. So the Gemara, Tani v'had mefarish. It was said, and then later explained it, where it starts off with Kol Apsulim, and then it says, and what are those Psulim? It's left and at nighttime. So the Gemara continues to try to bring a raya, Tashma from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, later on, it says, Zakal, this is the rule, concludes the Mishnah, Kol Shay Psulim b'Kodesh, whatever its invalidation was in a sanctified manner. So then, it was already a carbon. So, although it became possible, Einem etam b'gan mavei sabli, it's not going to transmit tuma to the one who's eating it when it's in his throat, which the Gemara here is alluding to another halacha of that halacha, which not only does the person become tuma, but his garments also become tuma. When it's in his throat, it's not going to transmit tuma because it's psula b'kodesh. So that is the Gemara Bishlam of Yechanan. Okay, so you said that the first kol apsulim that it said, you said that it's not including anything. It was ton of hadam mefarish. It said the case, and then it explained it, which is left and night. But now it's saying again at the end of the Mishnah, whatever is psul b'kaidish. So what's that coming to include? So according to Rabbi Yochanan, kol asu yazar, that would be including the case of the non-kain, where the Mishnah is telling us that it's not going to be tam b'gon b'sabliya, because although he's a non-kain, but since he has validity on the bama, so he has validity also, it's considered psul b'kaidish. El Rav, lasu yimab, according to Rav, what's that coming to include? There's nothing more to say. And there's no, and the Mishnah doesn't have a ton of ahad mefarash. It doesn't explain it. That's where the Mishnah ends. So that answers the Gemara's Ketin Tav of Samach Tesem and Aleph, asking back on Rabbi Yechanan. Well, Tameich, according to your reasoning that you're asking on Rav, there's one more line in the Mishnah. And the Mishnah says, Shaloi haya psul b'kaidish, and if it was not psul b'kaidish, then, oh, it will transmit to Mevei Sabliya. Lasu yamai. What is that coming to include? That also seemingly is not including anything. So Ella rather says the Gemara to answer that question on Rabbi Yechanan and also to ultimately answer for Rav. Rather, you have to say when it says kol of the resha, I mean the first sentence that we just said before. So that's when we're saying kol shahayu psula b'kodesh, lasuya shchitas kachim mifnim comes to permit shchita that was done inside by the kachim, by a carbon of the eif that was done inside the azara, which as the Gemara will tell us later on, actually unique, unlike all the other halachas, it's not because of alu layerdu, actually will be yerdu, but it's going to be a different reason why it's not metame, because we compare shchita that's done inside from shchita that's outside, but that's a halacha which wasn't mentioned explicitly in the Mishnah, and that's what's being included from when it says in the resha of the Mishnah regarding things that are not going to be metame beis abliya. So, seifa, when it says, kol shaloi haye besula b'kaydish, that's lasui, that's coming to include malikas chulin b'chutz, doing malika, an unconsecrated bird, outside the azara, that it will transmit tumah, because actually that case was not explicitly mentioned in the Mishnah, but that's what we're coming to include, that, yeah, obviously that's not psulim b'kaidish, because it's not even kaidish, it's not even done in the azara, it's being done outside, and it's being done with malika, which is totally not kosher, and therefore it's going to be considered as a nevela. Now, as Rashi, which according from Rashi Ksav Yad, in the primary text, where he says that the truth is, we could have said for that case, what's not psul b'kodesh, that's including a whole host of things, which the Gemara later on, Mizbech Makadosh, talks about, when if the bird was sodomized, or was set aside to be Avodah Zara, or served as Avodah Zara, or was used in exchange for harlotry, in exchange for a dog, where there the Malika is going to transmit, it's going to make it become an avail, to become Tameh, because it wasn't psul b'kodesh. So why did the Gemara pick this case? It's because the Mishnah spoke about doing Malika and Chulin inside or Kachem outside, which they're not Psulim HaKadosh, but it didn't say Chulin on the outside, so that's the case that we're adding on. But there's no difficulty on Rav, on the case of what was the case of Psulim HaKadosh, because that's including something else, not including Azar, rather including similar to the cases of the Mishnah, which just weren't mentioned, which we alluded to when we said the Mishnah, of Shchitas Kachem Bifnim, where since you're doing slaughtering, and it's kachem, you're doing it in the right place, although you're supposed to be doing malika, so although it's not kosher, it's not going to validate the carbon, but it will be enough, and therefore again, as we're going to see on the next daf, that's not going to be similar to trefa, because it's permitting something, and therefore it's not going to be tamah beveis abliya, that's what's known as psulim akaydish. So the Gemara concludes this discussion by saying, Tanika v'seid Rabbi Yechanan, however we have a braisa that supports Rabbi Yechanan's opinion. The braisa says, malaka zar, this case, if a non-kayin does the malika, or malaka pasul, if a invalid kain, for example, if he's a blemished kain, he's not allowed to do the avodah, if he does the malika. Or, ha-pigul v'ha-neiser v'ha-tami. Pigul is a carbon, where in this case we're talking about a bird carbon, that the kain, when he was doing it, had a machshava that it should be consumed beyond its time. Or v'ha-neiser is when it was left over beyond its time. Or v'ha-tami, if it became tami. So although these three types of bird kabbanas are forbidden to be eaten or to be burnt, because they're not valid, still regarding all these cases, ain mitamen abes habli, they do not transmit tumma when they're in the throat of the person who's swallowing it, which the primary thing that the Gemara is bringing from this is like Rabbi Yechanan, because it's saying clearly that the case of Malik of the Zar is not mitamen abes habli, and not like Rav, who says that it will transmit tumma abes habli. But one thing that we see from this brisa is that we don't say whatever is not fit to be consumed or to be sacrificed, so then the Malik is not permitting anything regarding it, and therefore it's not removed from the category of Nevela, because essentially, really, Malika is not a proper slaughtering. You have to slaughter a bird. Malika is just like making a hole in its pipes, and really that makes it into Nevela. It's only a Gezer Zakasav, it's a biblical decree regarding the consumption of a Chata Sa'if, of a carbon, or to sacrifice it by the Eila Sa'if, that the Malika is going to be valid. But here, where it's not making it appropriate for it because it's not permitting it, so therefore we would have thought to say that they will retain their status as nevela and mitam is someone when it's beves ablia. So this is the Bryce's teaching regarding all these cases, and one of them, the one that we wanted to bring a riot to Rabbi Yechon, and that of the Zar, that since, let's say in the case of pigul, it is accomplishing something, because it's meratz lepiguloi. You have to be able to do all the acts and conclude them to be able to make the carbon into pigul. So you are accomplishing something. So to Neisir and Tame, when you did the Malika, they were fit. It's just that it was left over its time or it became Tame. So therefore, since the Malika did accomplish something, therefore that's going to be enough to make it Pesud B'Kodesh and Im Olu Lo Yerdu, and therefore those are things that are not going to be Tame B'Veis Abli, but again, it has at least that right, Rabbi Yechanan, regarding his Machlekes with Rav, that when it says, and hence, according to Rabbi Yechanan, the way we're coming out in the Mishnah, when it says, Kol Shabsul and Shamalku, although Malikasim Sul, it's not going to be Tamim Besablia, it also includes Azar, because again, he compares it to the case of Bama, where you see Azar is valid to avoid at least by Bama, and as we see a Bryce that seemingly also compares the Halach of Yoytze to Bama, so to Azar is going to be considered Besul Bakaydish, and therefore not Matam Besablia.